Welcome to Tales of the Resistance, where we give you little glimmers of hope by way of stories of rebellion and defiance in these crazy-ass times. I'm Amber Hunt. Thanks to Amanda Rossman and Daisy Egan for filling in for me over the past couple of weeks. Let's get to it. A mural in Brooklyn is blasting President Donald Trump's pardons of January 6 rioters. Titled The Wall of Shame, the 50-foot-long, 10-foot-tall piece was installed by New York-based artist Phil Bueller on a wall in the Williamsburg neighborhood. It features over 1,575 names, people arrested or convicted for their involvement in the Capitol insurrection, all of whom were later pardoned by Donald Trump in his current term. The mural mimics an American flag, but instead of stars and stripes, it uses names in a symbolic color scheme: red for violent offenders, blue for property damage, and white for other charges. Bueller partnered with the community radio station Radio Free Brooklyn to complete the installation. Here's Bueller talking about it.
So I found the database that National Public Radio had put together and then kind of tried to organize it. That was an online database into a visual object. Really to highlight that, you know, in this kind of perilous time in our democracy, that, you know, we're on the edge of this authoritarian president. And we thought red, white, and blue, best time to show it would be 4th of July, where we're celebrating the birth of our country, but
could also be the death of our country.
Bueller also told The Guardian the mural is to confront the public with the scope of political violence that occurred January 6th, not to mention how these subsequent mind-boggling pardons normalized that violence. While some passersby have expressed discomfort with the display, the artist has said that it is precisely the point, to provoke reflection, not comfort. The Wall of Shame stands as a street-level intervention in the ongoing political battle over how the insurrection and its aftermath are remembered. Apparently, protesting genocide is grounds for deportation, at least according to a new federal lawsuit taking aim at the Trump administration's immigration crackdown on pro-Palestinian activists. A bench trial that kicked off this past Monday in Boston accuses the administration of targeting international students and scholars for removal simply because they dared to criticize Israel's actions in Gaza and U.S. support for them. Among the plaintiffs are Mahmoud Khalil, a Columbia grad student, and Rumeysa Öztürk, a doctoral researcher at Tufts. Both allege that after participating in peaceful protests or posting criticism of Israel and U.S. foreign policy online, their visas were suddenly revoked or denied. The Trump administration insists there's no official policy, just standard immigration enforcement. Totally coincidental, nothing to see here. But civil rights advocates and legal scholars aren't buying it. They argue the wave of visa denials and deportation attempts, combined with public chest-thumping by Trump officials about rooting out foreign agitators, smells suspiciously like an effort to silence dissent. The trial drew protesters outside of the courtroom from an Associated Press live stream.
Welcome, everybody, to this historic trial, which documents and fights back against ideological deportation. My name is Chenjerai Kumanyika, and I'm a member of the National Council of the American Association of University Professors.
The plaintiffs are backed by the ACLU and a coalition of legal groups focused on immigration and academic freedom. Their argument? Even non-citizens in the U.S. under valid visas have First Amendment rights. And those rights don't get tossed out just because a president doesn't like what they have to say. The trial won't be decided by a jury, but the judge's ruling could have far-reaching consequences. If the plaintiffs win, it could finally put some guardrails around the government's ability to weaponize immigration policy as a tool for political retribution. As for the Department of Justice, well, they've clammed up completely, offering no comment on the case. Probably safer that way. A North Carolina reverend known for turning sermons into street protests is once again calling out what he sees as moral rot in American politics. Reverend Dr. William Barber, co-chair of the Poor People's Campaign, has revived the Moral Mondays movement to confront President Trump's proposed budget cuts, targeting health care, housing, education, and food assistance programs that serve millions of lower-income Americans. Barber, who pastors Greenleaf Christian Church in Goldsboro, launched Moral Mondays in North Carolina during the 2010s as a nonviolent, faith-rooted response to austerity and voter suppression. Now the movement is back on a national stage with coordinated actions held over the weekend in multiple states. The message is blunt. Slashing support for the poor isn't just bad policy, it's a sin. Here's Barber talking to MSNBC.
And there are thousands of people that have testified, millions of people tuned in yesterday, almost 1,000 people joined us. We had 51 caskets because 51,000 people, according to studies at Yale and Penn, will die in the first year of this bill because it is a policy murder and policy violence. This bill is morally indefensible. It cuts more than 16 million people from health care unnecessarily just to give money to the greedy and wealthy who don't need it. This is a damnable, destructive, ugly, deadly, violent bill.
As The Guardian reports, the protests included prayer vigils, civil disobedience, and testimony from people directly affected by those proposed cuts. Low-wage workers, the disabled, families drowning in medical debt. Organizers plan to continue weekly Moral Monday events throughout the summer, building momentum for a large-scale demonstration in Washington, D.C., dubbed a Moral March for Economic and Racial Justice. The campaign insists it's nonpartisan, but with policies like these, it's not hard to see which side it's resisting. This Independence Day, thousands of Americans skipped the barbecues and took to the streets, using the nation's 249th birthday to protest what they see as the Trump administration's war on democracy, decency, and anyone who isn't white, wealthy, or worshipful of dear leader. Demonstrators across the country rallied against President Trump's escalating power grab since returning to office in January. Among the flashpoints, expanded ICE raids and deportations, airstrikes on Iranian nuclear sites, and the general erosion of federal accountability under a president who seems to think checks and balances are a suggestion. Here's one Los Angeles protester speaking to KTLA 5.
Well, as you know, the 4th of July is all about a celebration of the being free from the tyrant king. Well, now we got somebody trying to be a tyrant king.
The protests also came just as Trump signed his showpiece legislation, the so-called One Big Beautiful Bill, which guts programs like Medicaid and SNAP to shovel money into his administration's favorite pet projects, chief among them, supercharging ICE's budget, now bigger than every other federal enforcement agency combined and larger than the defense budgets of most sovereign nations.
Hey, hey. Ho, ho.
The July 4th protests, of course, weren't isolated. We've been neck deep in protests for months now, including the massive No Kings demonstrations on June 14th, Trump's 79th birthday, when millions marched in cities nationwide while Trump treated himself to a military parade in Washington, complete with tanks, flyovers, and fascist flair. Organizers behind the July 4th protests said the message is simple. Independence Day isn't just about fireworks and the flag. It's about fighting tyranny. We here at Grab Bag Collab don't condone graffiti, but we get the frustration. On July 6, climate activists from Extinction Rebellion targeted Apple's iconic Fifth Avenue store in New York City, accusing the tech giant of climate hypocrisy and cozy ties to the Trump administration. Protesters spray-painted the store's exterior and plastered signs linking CEO Tim Cook to Trump's anti-environment agenda. Organizers said,
"We must divest from this chaos. We cannot continue this way. We are in a climate crisis. Apple is complacent with it. Tim Cook, in bed with Donald Trump, are complacent with the climate crisis. We must divest from these big tech companies. They don't care about the working class. They don't care about the mothers and the children that are dying due to the climate crisis."
The action was part of a broader campaign slamming big tech for scaling back climate commitments while raking in profits. And in Apple's case, expanding AI operations with a growing carbon footprint. One protester was arrested. Organizers said the goal was to expose how Silicon Valley execs talk green while backing, or quietly benefiting from, Trump-era deregulation. Again, graffiti, not ideal. But complicity from billion-dollar tech firms? Also not a good look. While parts of Texas drown under record-breaking floods, a team of Mexican firefighters crossed the border this week to help save lives. Not that you'd guess that kind of solidarity was possible from listening to Texas leadership or the White House. WWNY-TV reports that crews from Ciudad Acuña joined local and federal responders in central and southern Texas, where flash floods have devastated communities, swept away homes, and prompted disaster declarations in multiple counties. Emergency teams are overwhelmed. Thousands are displaced. I can't even talk about the dozens dead in what is apparently one of the deadliest floods in a century because my heart can't take it. But Mexico answered the call. Here's Spanish-speaking reporter Sandra Gomez.
En solidaridad, precisamente para nuestros hermanos de Texas por la situación que están atravesando tras el desbordamiento del río Guadalupe en el condado de Kerr, tal como lo acaba.
She's saying Acuña deployed a highly trained team in civil protection and firefighting in solidarity with our brothers in Texas for the situation they are going through after the flooding of the Guadalupe River. That's significant, considering Governor Greg Abbott has spent years planting razor wire and sending troops to the border to fight illegal immigration, all while painting Mexican nationals as criminals. President Trump, meanwhile, has long stoked anti-Mexican sentiment, from campaigning on racist slurs to unleashing mass deportation drives. Yet, when disaster struck, Mexican firefighters waded into floodwaters to rescue Americans. They've done it before, helping after Hurricane Katrina and California wildfires. But this time, more than ever, they did it while politicians were actively hurling insults and worse their way. While Trump and Abbott build walls and trade in fear, these first responders are pulling Texans to safety. If you don't find hope and compassion in the face of cruelty, I don't know if you'll see it anywhere. If you're looking for a way to help flood victims directly, without the politics, consider donating to the Kerr County Flood Relief Fund, a trusted, community-run nonprofit aiding the hardest-hit areas. Tales of the Resistance is a production of Grab Bag Collab. This episode was written by me, Amber Hunt, and edited by Amanda Rossman. Thank you to Amanda and Daisy Egan for filling in for me. I really appreciate it. It was so needed.